So I want to talk, you know, Dover Bito Matov. I want to talk about what the Avoda is Mamash this week of Parshas Bamidbar, which is the last Parsha that we read before Shavuos. And that's, you know, the Rambam brings us in Hilchos Tefillah that, you know, the Minhag HaPashut in Kol Yisrael is that we read Parshas Bamidbar right before Shavuos. So it's ancient. It's like the Rambam Hilchos Tefillah brings it. Now, here's another interesting thing to be, can't be a coincidence. It works out that we always read Parshas Bamidbar roughly around Rosh Chodesh Sivan, right? And that's exactly historically when Am Yisrael came to Midbar Sinai. It says in Parshas Zohar, Bachodesh HaShlishi, Letzeis B'nei Yisrael Mimitzrayim, Bayom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai. They came to Midbar Sinai, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, right? So now Rashi right there brings a very interesting chazal that I'm sure you've heard, but we have to unpack what it means. It should say Bayom Hahu, because we're talking about something that happened already. What's Bayom Hazeh? Right? Bayom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai. So it says that Divrei Torah have to be B'choyom Chadoshim Be'enecha Ki Hayom Nitnu. The Divrei Torah have to always be new in your eyes, right? As if they were given today. Right? So it's so Divrei Torah is not something, you know, in the past. It's in the present. Torah is like being like, view it as if today was given. Okay. So first of all, we have to understand what that means. All right. So you're supposed to fool yourself that you haven't been sitting on this Daf Gemara for. Right, that was a sensitive issue among Chafetz Chaim guys. I know, right? That wasn't mean. But here's the thing: you're giving me this remez, right, to this idea that Torah should be new in your eyes when they come to Midbar Sinai. Torah was given a week later, right? On Vav or according to Rabbi Yossi on Zion Sivan, right? So why is the remez that you have to see Torah as new, right? Dropped a whole week earlier, in context of Rosh Chodesh Sivan, they came to Midbar Sinai. That's the remez. They came to Midbar Sinai, the remez, on this day. Okay? So, we're going to unpack this in steps. Right? So first, we have to go back to the Iker idea. Right? That every day Torah should be viewed as new. So, what does that mean? All right, Torah was given, right, 3,000 years ago. Right? Prior to that, Chazal tell us it was Esh Chora Gabe Esh Chora, black fire and white fire in Shemayim. Right? So, Torah's ancient. So, what does it mean Torah's new? Just, what do the words mean, and what does it demand from us? Alright, so here's the thing. Even though Torah is very old, now that we have Lashonos and Chazal, which each one has a different philosophical significance, that it was Tat Ka'ad Dairus, it was there 974 generations before the world was created. And with 974 before, which means that's what it means. The pasuk means Dover Tziva Le'elef Dor, because you take the 974 generations before Bria's Olam, whatever that means, right? Plus the 26 until Torah was given, which is connected to 26 Kilon Chastos in Halal Gadol, right? 1,000 generations, right? And there's another lashon that it was Alpayim Shana, Kodem Shenivra Olam. And each and one has a different philosophical significance, as Maram is on something else, right? But just because Torah is ancient, right? Because it's the Ribbono Shel Olam's will, it's the Ribbono Shel Olam's wisdom, and he always was, right? Right? That doesn't mean it ever gets old, right? It could be ancient, doesn't mean it ever gets old. Right, because getting old is that it reached its limits. you know, it reached its limits. You know, you know what it means already, or it's no longer relevant, God forbid, you know, or it's, you know, beginning to go out, right? But Torah never gets old, right? Because it's an eternal truth. Right? So, you know, it always, you know, from our vantage point, it always was. On the other hand, it also always will be. Because it's an absolute truth. That means it's true all the time, everywhere. Right? Right? But, you know, so Torah's timeless. Now, so the Torah doesn't change, right? But we change, right? Every day is like a different reality. That's what you say, Chadoshim labkorim, Rabba emunasecha. Every day we're like a new bria. That's why we have to be no-till yadayim in the morning. It's just like we just came back from the dead, right? It's a brand new day, right? So today is different from yesterday, which is different from the day before, right? So now, the Torah has to have something in it, right? That is keneged yesterday, that's keneged, you know, today, and that's keneged tomorrow. Now, the Torah is infinite, but we are finite. But every single day that we progress, we could see another piece of the infinite. As we go day, today, today, right? You know, let me illustrate. So it's a very interesting Rashi, you know, in Chaye Sorah. So Chazal Darshan. Mea Shana, Vesum Shana. Eliezer Epstein and Tzadik. Welcome, Eliezer. Please, I said. So, all right. So Torah says by Sorah. You know, 100 years, 20 years, seven years. By each one says years, right? And then it ends off Shnei Chaye Sarah, the years of Sarah's life, right? So, you know, so why is it ending off, you know, after it said 100 years plus 20 years plus 7 years, which there's a drush on that. But then Shnei Chaye Sarah says Rashi, Kulam Shavu L'Toiva. They're all equally as good. All her 127 years were all equally as good. So, like, if I tell you now, you're just like the way you were when you were 7 years old, right? Wouldn't you be insulted? What, you didn't grow in 20 years? How do you say kulam shavu l'toyva? All equally as good. What, you didn't grow? Must be that the later years were better than the earlier years. Why call him Shavu L'Tova? What does that mean? Right. So, to understand this, they asked once Rav Sadia Gaon. Rav Sadia Gaon used to do tshuva every single day. So, you know, his students who followed him everywhere to learn from him on every opportunity, they asked him, you know, listen, we're with you yesterday. You did nothing wrong. And here you're doing tshuva. You know, we're with you all day long, just learning from you and learning from your example. And here you're doing tshuva. So Rav Sadia Gaon told them the following story. That once he was traveling incognito, right? No one knew who he was. And, you know, and he came to an inn late at night. And it was cold, rainy outside, and he's banging on the inn door, please let me in. Guy says, you know, listen, hey, I'm closed. I went to bed. I'm not coming down to open up for you. He said, please, it's so cold, it's so wet. You know, he had no choice. He kept on banging. So the guy let him in, right? And he says, listen, I'm not giving you a room. You could just, under the counter, you could sleep there. I'm going to bed. Next day, the workers of the inn come in, and someone recognizes Rav Sadia Gaon. Right? And the word goes out in town, Rav Sadia Gaon came to town. And really, it's a whole tumult, and like people converge on the inn, everyone wants to greet the great Rav Sadia Gaon. And the innkeeper is so embarrassed. He didn't know where to hide himself. This is the way he treated Rav Sadia Gaon. So Rav Sadia Gaon told his students like this. Every day, my understanding of the greatness of God increases. And the way I know God today, I'm so embarrassed about how I served him yesterday. I'm like that innkeeper. You know, he treated me maybe not so nicely, but he treated me the way he treated me, not knowing I'm Rav Sadia Gaon. And then he found out I'm Rav Sadia Gaon. That's the way it's between me and God. Every single day, I grow. And my appreciation of the greatness of Hashem grows. And I'm so embarrassed today of the way I treated God yesterday because my appreciation of God grew. All right? So now that story illustrates that, you know, yes, we are lacking in knowledge. Lacking in knowledge. And every day we get rid of a little bit of ignorance. Okay? But does it have to be that way? That our whole aging and becoming more experienced, becoming more wise is just ignorance elimination? Is there a more positive way? What about yesterday I knew the most that it's possible to know? Right? And the reason why I know today is not because I was a slacker yesterday. The reason why I know more is because new ideas came into the world. A new perspective came into the world. That this perspective wasn't previously available. This is what it means, just the Parshat Pshat in that Rashi. Kulam shavu l'tayva. Of course, Sarah Imenu grew, and she was better at the age of 127 than she was when she was 7. Right? But they were all called equally as good because she lived every single day the fullest. She was the best she could be at the age of 7 that was possible to be. Her understandings were as far as a 7-year-old's understandings can reach. And when she became 20, her understanding was the maximum that a 20-year-old at that point in history could have, etc., etc. So she doesn't have to be ashamed of yesterday. She knows more today than she knows yesterday because new ideas and new life experiences came her way. And that's why she's bigger today than she was yesterday. Not that she's less ignorant. Right? Every single day, if the Torah is infinite, Sefer Torah was given to us in one grand moment, you know, on Shavuos, 3,000 years ago. But Torah is infinite. It's timeless. And that means the Torah that we got 3,000 years ago is gradually unpacking itself in course of all the generations. Now, Moshe knew all this. Chazal say Moshe knew akvil mashatamid vasik shol mirabo. He even knew what any question that a student will one day ask his Rebbe. Moshe, you know, miraculously knew all that and could bring it to earth because he knew it. But for us, Torah is unpacking every single day. Yeah, it's the same Torah that's ancient, but that ancient Torah is infinite. So it never gets old. And there's new meanings being unpacked every single day.
Right? If everyone's working on the same Torah, meaning we're still trying to catch up to what the generation before us has already unpacked. So the first question is, who is unpacking that, the newness that's coming out of that day?
Right. Yes. Correct. We, every Jew, every day has to unpack the Divrei Torah that are being released on that day. Now, the Torah was given, but the Torah that was given is being unpacked every single day. New meanings are becoming available. Of course, they were there encoded in the Torah before, but they're being released to us. And that's the avoda of all the generations combined. Everyone has to reveal a certain aspect of Torah that's only going to be revealed in his time through him, through his Shorash HaNeshama. That's what it means. Everyone has a chelik in Torah. That's what we daven on Shabbos. V'sein chelkenu. Everyone has his own chelik. Everyone has his own lot in life. You know, your turf, your role, right? But you shouldn't just want it. Your chelik should be, I have my house, I have my car, but, you know, being my own part should be v'sein chelkenu v'sorasecha. I want to be an individual. I want to be an individual. But I want that individual to be expressed in your Torah. That I am going to unpack a certain aspect of Torah that no one else can. And not only that, it was not, and what my chelik to unpack is, was not available yet. It was there on earth, encoded in the Torah, but it wasn't available yet until my time came. Right?
Moshe got the Torah, and he had all the infinite Torah.
He had all the infinite Torah, but he wasn't licensed or able to convey everything that he knew. He knew Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, he knew Brisker Torah, he knew everything. Right? Chazal say that in a certain, you know, in his own language. He may not have used the language that we use, right? But, you know, and he was the vehicle to put Torah on earth, right? So the Torah he put on earth is being unpacked in every generation. And that's why every generation calls him Moshe Rabbeinu. Because we are all really his students, in the sense that we are all unpacking what he brought to earth.
Right? And could we unpack as much as he did?
I mean, could anyone know as much as Moshe? No. No, not one person could know everything Moshe knew, because you have to understand something else. Moshe is not a private citizen. Moshe is a public figure.
What about Rabbi Akiva?
He represents Am Yisrael, right?
What about Rabbi Akiva?
Yes.
He didn't know as much as Moshe?
Okay, so let's talk about that. All right, I wasn't planning to talk about it, but why not?
And also, Rabbi Akiva knew more than Moshe, also.
Right, okay. Okay. Right. So there is a... So first of all, the famous Gemara you're probably referring to, Menachas Daf Chav Tes, that Rabbi Akiva is giving a shir. He's talking, and he says, you know, Tilei Tilei Malachas, on every prong of every letter, he's piling on, you know, this alludes to this pile of halachas. This alludes to this pile of halachas. So they asked him, Rebbe Zumi Nayin Lucha? And he answered, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. And when Moshe heard that, he calmed down, because he really couldn't understand what Rabbi Akiva was saying. Right? But Rabbi Akiva says, it's all Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. That means Rabbi Akiva recognizes he's unpacking what Moshe brought down to earth. Right? However, and this is a very interesting point. You know, even though Moshe knew it all, he didn't necessarily know it in the same terms that we use. Right? And that's how the Leshem and others explain that Gemara. So if it's all Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, why did Moshe Rabbeinu have difficulty understanding? Because every generation speaks in their own unique language, which gives a unique expression to Torah. So of course it's all Torah Moshe. But it gets a new shape, it gets a new hesber, if it comes in your sprach, in the way you explain it, which further glorifies the Torah.
So that we could have.
What?
That we could have?
That we could have. So now, you know, everyone could have his own unique, you know, spin on it, that even that spin, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't see. And that's what Chazal say, it's a medrash in Parshas, either Chukas or Bola. It brings the pasuk v'chol yakar rasa eno, right? And I do believe yakar is gematria omer. Am I correct? Is omer ayin mem resh? Ayin mem resh yakar is gematria 310. Omer is 310. Omer, right? Right. That's what we said here. Lag, but Omer's kenegadin of Rabbi Akiva. We explain. So Omer without a vav. Omer is gematria yakar. V'chol yakar ra'asa eno zu Rebbe Akiva v'chaverav shedvarim shlo niglu l'moshe niglu l'Rebbe Akiva v'chaverav. Right, he saw things Moshe can't see. So the Sfarmic, so of course, it's all the Torah of Moshe. Rebbe Akiva just had an interesting angle on it, on in Taurus Moshe, that Moshe didn't see that angle. Right? So we add, you know, embellishment, we add other hesber, we add angles. That it's all, of course, angles on Taurus Moshe. Right? But that's our avodah. We beautify the Torah, we expand the Torah. Now, there's an interesting Rashi in Parshas Devarim. Right? In Parshas Devarim, which we read during the 3 weeks, and no time to explain that now, but I have another book on the 3 weeks that explains it. Okay? Right? But why Parshas Devarim is always Parshas Shabbos Chazon, which, by the way, is also in Rambam Hilchos Tefillah. It's ancient. Right? That this Seder of Parshas with these Moadim. Right? But the Rashi says, Hoyo Moshe Be'eras HaTorah Azois, he came to explain the Torah. Says Rashi, B'shivim Lashon. Moshe translated Torah into 70 languages. What? It was a precursor to the fact that Am Yisrael is going to go into Golis, and, you know, he said the Torah in Spanish. That was the Shoresh, that there'll be a Ramban, a Rajba, a Ritva, a Ran, who all learned Torah in Spanish. And said their chidushim, when they said shir, they originally said it in Spanish, Ladino, they called it. And then it got written up in Hebrew. But just like in Eastern Europe, you know, Reb Chaim said a shirim in Yiddish, then it got written up in Hebrew. And then that's the reason for that, because our literary language will always be Hebrew. But our spoken language, literally, when it's Torah Sheh Ba'al Peh, when it's in the mouth, it's the language of the country that we're living in. Because we have to bring the aura of Torah into that language and into that country. And that's our job. We're adding colors and further explanations, which makes the Torah more glorious. Right? But I'm going to tell you something deeper in a second. This is just starters. Yeah, go ahead. How you doing? You like this stuff? Yeah? Yeah?
So
it's better with beer.
I'm laying off the beer.
Okay, fine. All right, fine. Yeah.
So if we can all fulfill our potential, but it's infinite, no? The Torah.
The Torah's infinite, but you have your chelek, same chelkenu b'sarasecha. Everyone has his chelek. I mean, you have your chelek in reality. You should want, you pray to Hashem, I don't want to be an individual in stupid things. I want to be an individual beside your Torah. Our chelek should be b'sarasecha. That's what we daven for every Shabbos, every Yom Tov.
And that means that every day we have chelek.
That's right. It's not just in the whole life. Every day.
Every single day, there's a
chelek. That's right. And it's special for that day. It wasn't. And the Divrei Torah, even though it was on Earth in code form, it wasn't available to be unpacked before that day came. And that's the secret. The Mishnah says, "No, call Yom Yotze Bas Kol Mehar Chored." Right? Every day, there's like a heavenly voice rings out from Har Sinai. Right? Why are people not, you know, taking Torah seriously? Every day, because every day, the fact you learned a lot of hours yesterday doesn't give you an excuse to slacken today, because there's new light of Torah to unpack today that wasn't available yesterday. That's why you should never waste a day. Right? Right? But I'm going to take it a step deeper. Right? You know, what keeps the world going? Right? You know, the world renews itself every day. Right? Really, it does. It renews itself. You know, it's only on the surface that it's same old, same old, same old. Right? But really, you know, it's like the pasuk that we quote from Eicha, Chadoshim Labkorim. Every day is new. Chadoshim Labkorim, Rabba Munasecha. Right? It's a new day, it's new energies. Where do those new energies come from? From the Torah. Really, the cause and effect is that because the Torah never gets old, and the Torah is constantly unleashing, it's like a slow release capsule. And the Torah is constantly unleashing, you know, more ore to be seen. from what's encoded in it, that is actually the root of why the world gets a new day. And life gets one more day. Because just like God originally created the world with Torah, Istaku Baraisa Bara Alma, He's also renewing the world every day with the light of Torah that's being unleashed. So really all newness in the world, right, is all really from the release of Torah, right? And there's a Zohar, I believe it's in Parshas Noach, right, that predicted that in the year Tuf Resh, there's going to be a tremendous explosion of wisdom. And they roughly trace it to the Industrial Revolution. And that's when technology started taking off like crazy, right? Right? And it's just like snowballing. Right? And the Zohar Darshan from the Pasuk by Noach. Nifku Tahomos Mayonos Rabba Varubos Hashemayim Niftachu. The heavens opened up and also the earth opened up. So it says Zohar that there's heavenly wisdom and there's earthly wisdom. The truth is, right, that the unleashing of technology is the Tomos, Mayonis Tomos Rabba, right? And it's just like the fringe benefit of all the Torah that's being unleashed. So if our Torah's bringing all this new energy in the world, so there's like the external level of it that the rest of the world could grab onto, right? Problem is we're not taking full advantage of what's being unleashed, right?
Right? You know where by Schwimmen told me?
Yeah.
Said that in the times of in the Haskalah,
yes,
that there was a major influx of wisdom, and who got it? The Maskilim. Then in the times, let's say the 1950s, there was a major influx in Eretz Yisrael, like to go to Eretz Yisrael. Then
yes.
Who got it? The Zionists. And then in the let's say after that, there was major influx in Kiruv, and who got that? The Bali Tshuva.
Right. It's just related that, you know, if we don't properly utilize the unleashing, then it goes to bad places. We have to, you know, make sure it goes to the right place. And we're going to discuss that in a second. Then we're getting to the guts of what the last week of the Omer is about. What Parshas Bamidbar ushers in, right? But you're hitting on the case. We have to put out kalim that could receive it, otherwise it goes to bad places. It gets, you know, the ore, you know, chas v'shalom, you know, could be grabbed by and be utilized for nefarious purposes, God forbid. Of course, not the essence of the light, just the fringe benefits could be, right? So really, Torah's always new. Right? You know, so you say, like, how are you supposed to look at Torah? No, Torah's always new. And that's why, you know, I'm sorry, I have to say this again. And that's why, we ranked on Art Scroll, you know, by Lag BaOmer, and can't rank on it enough, really. The stuff is poison. Because in a dead translation, the translation is a stagnant, dead thing. The words of the Gemara are alive. And if you stick to the source, you know, without an intermediary, you stick to the words of the Gemara, the words of Chazal, we can constantly see new things in the Gemara every day. Right? Right? The Gemara is alive. Right? You know, there's so much locked in over there. There was tremendous siyata yishmaya to Rabbeinu Kosh with the Mishnah, Ravina Ravashi in the way to Kavad the Gemara, that they're able to put, when they put down Torah in these words, right? They didn't limit the Torah. They didn't like cut it to. They're able to encode the infinity of Torah in these words. And that's why it's very important to stay connected to the source, right? Because in the source, you could see Chadoshim Labkor, B'chol Yom Nechol K'Chadosh, right? Torah is always new because it's infinite; it never gets old. And there's Torah that, you know, as it's unpacking itself across the generations, every day you could see something that just wasn't able to be seen the day before, even though it was on Earth already, but it wasn't unpacked yet. Every day is another capsule that has divine lights in it, including divine lights of the Torah. Right? So now we get back to it. You know, the problem is not in Torah, the problem is in our eyes. Right? Because when you look at the text, if all you're seeing is the black on white, it's the same black on white as there was yesterday. That's the problem that we have with our eyes. We don't see the essence. We see the black on white, and the black on white looks the same as it did yesterday. The challenge is in the eyes. You beinecha kachadoshim. Right? We have to condition our eyes to see something new, even though on the cosmetic level it looks identical as it is yesterday. We have to condition our eyes to see content, not to see just appearance. Because, of course, the appearance of the daf is the same today as it was yesterday. The challenge is in our eyes. I mean, I'll just drop you a little hint, right? About, you know, that the great problem that there is in reality is all in the eyes, right? Right? Having the right perspective. Because our eyes only see the surface. And that's the big problem, right? We hear deep ideas. We don't see them. We just see the surface, right? And that's why you'll find that all the promises for the future and all the prayers for the future are belosh and re'iyah. V'harenu Hashem Elokeinu nechatzion erecha. V'sechezenu einenu shuchat zion. V'einenu sirenu malchusecha. Ki ayin ba'ayin yuru b'shuv Hashem tzion. And I could be here all night. All the psukim about the gula. All the psukim. It's all to see. Because I could explain to you philosophically, God is king, and he's the absolute power, but it's hard to see it. You know, we see a world where, God forbid, you know, looks like the evil people are in charge, God forbid, you know, a lot of things. The problem is in the eyes, right? And that's what needs to be fixed, that we have to, you know, that all the truths of the Torah have to become visible. Not just ideas that you hear about, but visible. And that's the challenge that we face in our learning. We have to try then not to be deceived by our eyes that just see the same black and white text as they saw yesterday. We have to have a more penetrating glance. We have to do something to augment the eyes. So I'll tell you something very nice, right? What the Svarim say, you know, when the Gemara wants to bring a proof, it says, Toshma, come here. That's how the Bavli talks. The Yerushalmi and the Zohar says, Tochazi, come see. So you have to shtel it to a Gemara, I think it's in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Ches, on the Pasuk Erecha. B'machashakim hoshivani kemesei oilam, ze Talmud HaShobabu. Hashem put me in darkness, like those dead to the world. That's Talmud Bavli. Why? Because Talmud Bavli was written in the depth of the Golus, right? Where we accept the fact that we're blind to the truth. We're blind to the truth. And we don't really see truth. We just hear about it. Toshma. And that's why, there's something about the style of the Bavli versus the Yerushalmi. If you ever do comparative sugyas, right? The Bavli is a much more pilpul. Raising a lot more havaminas. The Yerushalmi generally, within one or two steps, gets straight to the point, and generally will build it on a pasuk. And the Bavli will build it on svara after trying. And sometimes it goes full circle, goes back. It's better what we said in the first place. Why? Because the Bavli recognizes that we're in darkness, dead to the world, and we can't trust what we see. So we have to use pilpul, and we have to raise every possibility and show why it's wrong, to be sure we got it right. But the Yerushalmi and the Zohar, which were written in Eretz Yisrael, which is the land of Nevuah, and the Navi is called the Choze, the Roe, right? And that's why, and then sometimes something which the Bavli will build on Svara, the Yerushalmi will see immediately alluded to in a pasuk. Right? So, Tochazi, come see. because it was written in Eretz Yisrael where there's still like a little bit of the Ruach HaNevuah left. And so Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and his Talmidim, you know, in the Zohar, you know, reached a high level that was, it, you know, it was a type of prophecy, but in the words of the Tikkun HaZohar, Bo'orach Sechol, a prophecy that came to them in an intellectual jargon. So they didn't have actual visions, but they had Ruach HaKodesh that expressed itself in an intellectual type of jargon, but it was like a Ruach HaKodesh. They could see what they were talking about. So it's Tachazi. And that's what we need to get back to. Loss in love, that the whole Torah, all the truths of Torah, should not just be what we talk, it should be visible. Because that's what's wrong with the world. What's wrong with the world is that the truths of Torah are not visible. Right? That's the problem. And you want to go deeper, you know, from Kisvei Ari, that the original Shvira, what's wrong with the world, was called that the Eiris Einayim of Adam Kadmon broke. That's where the Shvira was. Right? That's what's vulnerable. You know what's the trickiest thing about this world? The way things look. And that shallowness of vision, that as objective as vision is, but it's also very shallow, that could affect our learning. That we, if you only see the text as the black and white, it's the same black and white that we had yesterday. You have to condition yourself that to look at the Gemara with new eyes every day. It looks the same as yesterday because you're looking at it with yesterday's eyes. You be necha kachadoshim, right? You have to work with your eyes because Torah is always new. It's always unpacking new meaning. You have to condition yourself to be able to see it. Your eyes are the problem. Because you're looking at Torah today with the eyes of yesterday, and that's why it looks the same as yesterday. Right. So what's the answer? How do we do it? And this has to be a hachana before Matan Torah. That we have, because the Rebbe Shlomo wants to give us the Torah in a manner that we'll see newness in it every single day. So we got to deal with this problem even before Torah is given. Right? So Chazal say, and it's a medrash in this week's parsha. You'll see in the midrash of this week's parsha, Bamidbar, a lot of drushes on why Torah was given in the desert. Right? A lot of, you know, because, you know, Chazal already knew, you know, parsha's Bamidbar, it's a parsha we always read before Matan Torah. Right? So a lot of drushes in the Medrash Rabbah about Matan Torah and Torah was Nitna Bamidbar. Torah had to be given in the desert. Why give the Torah in the desert? Give the Torah in Israel. Give the Holy Torah in the Holy Land. That's a very deep, there's a lot of reasons for that. But you should give the Holy Torah in the Holy Land. Why are we giving the Torah in the Midbar? Right? Right? So the Chazal say, "En divrei Torah niknin ela misha mesim atzmo kemidbar." Right? Torah is given in the desert, teach you that you have to make yourself like a desert. Ma bidbar hefker sha'kol doshimba. Midbar is no man's land. Anyone can walk anywhere. Right? Anyone can walk anywhere. You know, which means it's wide open space, right? Right. The Midbar means that, you know, it's desolate, right? And there's no borders. That's where you have to be. You have to view yourself as, I don't have it all figured out. I'm desolate. I'm unbuilt. And I have no borders. I'm always open. I'm open. Hefker, Hakol Doshimba. Hakol Doshimba. Right? No sense of, I have it all figured it out already. I have it all figured out. This is the pshat. Right? This is the way I understand it. And it has to be this.
I was understanding it as anivas.
Anova is a part of it. It's anova, but it's more than just being humble. It's total hisbatness. Right? Right? Total openness. Total openness.
What does that mean?
Right? Don't view yourself as having any havana in it at all. I mean, you did yesterday, but today I'm starting fresh. No preconceived notions. No preconceived notions. You have to train yourself. You know, to overcome the problem is that you have to train yourself when you open up the Gemara today, and it's a Gemara you saw yesterday. Don't approach it with what you thought of yesterday. Start fresh. You're a midbar. You're not built, baby. You are desolate. And that's the secret that we call our sages Talmidei Chachamim. Kom Chachamim. So sometimes we do, sometimes, but most times we don't. And there's reasons for both jargon. But we have a guy, long white beard, Talmid Chacham, smart student. Because you're always a student. You never stop being a student. You're always open to re-examine and to be makabel. To be makabel. I hate to say it, Chokhmah b'goyim tamim, but lahavdil, alfei avdolos, right, even by the goyim, the sensei, the guy learns by the sensei, sensei tries to teach him, my previous sensei, told me it's like that and like that and like that. Sensei says, let's have some tea together. Oh, come on. You guys know this one, right? Let's have some tea. That's it. After the student says, but I learned it differently from... This is a famous Chinese proverb, whatever. Right? You guys never heard this one? Man. All right. Right. So a guy goes to learn by his new sensei, and he starts teaching him the punch and the kick from scratch. So come on, I know this already. I learned this from my previous dojo, I used to. Is that what they call it? Right, right. Right. And he says, let's have some tea. So he says, so master pours himself some tea. All right, give me your cup. Right? So the student holds a cup, master pours the tea. Right? And the tea starts spilling over and burning. So master, the tea's not going in, it's just burning my hands. Because you must empty your cup. Now in Yiddish, cup, right? You gotta empty your cup. Every single day when you sit down to learn, you gotta empty your cup. You gotta start from scratch. Forget about how you came up yesterday. Forget about it. I want today's Havana. I want the Havana of today. Right? And you have to empty your cup. And as you have to always be a student, always to be makabel, always. But I got it figured out. And so, because David's right, it involves annulling the ego. Right? It involves annulling the ego. You got to say, I don't have it figured out. I don't have it figured out. Right? Because you have to empty your cup. Right? You have to pretend, for lack of better words, that you see it first time, if you want to see the Divrei Torah of today. That's what a midbar represents. That's why Torah's getting midbar. It wasn't given in a civilized place, which is all built up around. Because you have to be like a midbar. Wide open. Never view yourself as a finished product. Never view yourself as someone who has it all figured out. Because you're cutting yourself off from seeing new things. So now, now with this we get back to, it's beautiful. Bayom Hazeh, bo midbar Sinai. You want Bayom Hazeh, the Torah should be always in the present, go into the desert, make yourself like a desert. Be mesim atzmecha kamidbar. And now this is the avoda of the very last week of the Omer, to work on this nekuda. In the last week of the Omer, we count in the sphera of Malchus, Kayadua. And starting tonight, the sphere of Malchus, Keneged David HaMelech. Now, if you know in the Midas, of the seven Midas that we've counted through the Omer, so the six ones are called Mashpiyim. The seventh one is the Kli Kibul, the Makabel. And why David HaMelech is the Kli Kibul, he is the receptacle. Because you know why? David HaMelech had no sense of self. The Midah of Malchus says, or Lesla Migar Maklum, it doesn't feel itself. And you know why David felt that way? It's a Dover Nifla, and this has to do with Megillas Rus. It has to do with the whole history of Malchus based David. Right? Right? First of all, David HaMelech was destined to die at childbirth. His whole life is on loan from Adar Marishan. Adar Marishan lent him 70 years. Marishan was meant to live 1,000 years. He only lived 930. He donated 70 years of his life. Right, to David HaMelech. Right? Right? And that's what's Merumah Zitzvah Adam is Rashi Tevis. Adam David Mashiach. Because that's what Mashiach is supposed to do. Take us back to the Madrega of Adam Rishon Kodem Achet. Adam David Mashiach. Adam. Right? Right. But also look at the history of Malchus Beis David. It always gets up, it's always built up in an oifen of Yibum. Even though not Yibum Mamash, but similar to Yibum. Yehuda and Tamar. Right, so first he initially wanted her to be a Yavama of the Avdara, but this is before Matan Torah, so a father-in-law can marry a daughter-in-law. You know, that's also, you know, in this day, you know, after Matan Torah. Right, so it's okay, so it was all Yibum. Right? In the end, he was Miyabim her himself. Right, and then with what we're going to read, you know, with Rus was Eshes Machlon, so and it was a type of quasi Yibum that Boaz, you know, next of kin, married her. Right, Yibum is an act of Lahakim Shem Hames, to be selflessly give a name to the mace that didn't have children. Malchus Beis David gets built up with Yibum. It's the selflessness. It's the lesla migarma klum, right, which is so necessary to be a kli for the infinite Torah, right? To have any, because the sense of self will get in the way. The sense of, like, I haven't figured out is going to get in the way of you're seeing newness. And this is the midah of the last week of the Omer, the midah of Midbar, the midah of Malchus, right? To work, you know, the final midah of working on being a kli kibul. Until now, we're working on good midahs to be a good person. Right? This prior 6 weeks. The seventh week, we're working on being a kli that's totally open to being makabel, and to be makabel more, and to be makabel. It never fills up. It's wide open like the desert. Lesa migarma klum. This is the avoda of, you know, these final days of the Omer. Right? And we have to get it right before we get Torah, not after. Right? That's why Be'om HaZem Bo Midbar Sinai is the remez. You know, when it came to the desert, which the last week of the Omer. They came in on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. The last week. Right? This is what we're working on. The last week, we're working on the avod of being a kli that could be makabo without any end. Any questions? I'll send you guys the recording.